Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, we welcome you from my mountain stronghold to the rogue, the legendary, the infamous Von Wehhunt Show. Episode 95 tonight. Our theme, Putin's Ukraine War Gamble. To show you each week, we are a world at war. We are the very base show that your mother warned you about. Never be guilty of who you really are, and always be proud of who you are. Well, the war in Ukraine rages onwards. Today, the Russian government has announced the issuance of an arrest warrant for billionaire George Soros. They say he is the main promoter of the war in Ukraine. The arrest warrant for George Soros, per the Von Wehhunt Show, should have been made years ago by our own government. But we'll see if they can affect and utilize that arrest warrant in reality and actually take him in to the Kremlin or elsewhere. It's going to be very interesting to watch that spectacle in part of the show. Well, at the same time, China publicly declared George Soros to be a, quote, global terrorist. We're so glad you're here tonight, folks. All new listeners to the show after the monologue get to chime in and be first in line to call. So if you're around the country, you can dial 563-999-3437, and I promise you, if you hold and be patient, I will get you on the air. Now, today in America, the Selective Service also put out this tweet that men between the ages of 18 and 25, inclusive, must register for the draft. Are they tipping their hat? Are they wanting more draftees in the near future for a potential World War III? God forbid, right? However, just keep in mind that the United States does have provisions in place that allow for those up to the age of 54 years of age to be drafted into the military if they have certain needed skills or experience. Greetings to all my friends and comrades all across the nation and the world. This is the Barbarian. We are always broadcasting from the mountains of Arizona to all my dramatic wolves across the nation as our powerful radio signal reaches behind Putin's Iron Curtain and into Ukraine and many neighboring countries tonight over in Eastern Europa. Well, the theme tonight, as I told you, is Putin's Ukraine war gamble, with this quote from Von Wehhunt himself, as I talk about myself in the third person. You can pray all you want, but eventually never forget that David had to pick up a stone and act against Goliath. It's actually biblical, you know. How about those apples? Very true to our life today. Also know that this show speaks truth to power. On each show, we'll educate a little bit about the show and what we expect and what you can expect from us. All truth passes through these three stages. First, all truth is ridiculed by the masses. And on our show, we always know that, in general, the masses are asses. Secondly, the truth is violently opposed. Thirdly, it is finally accepted that the truth is actually self-evident, as our founding fathers have told you. Well, this show has the rogue designation of being permanently banned from liberal left-wing Twitter 5 times, and they have kicked us off their entire platform. Now, the CEO of Twitter is named Agerwald. He does not believe in free speech, and we have requested congressional hearings to bust up the big tech monopoly on free speech and free thought in America. I have written senators, our Roman senators in D.C., about this. For Twitter and other militant platforms like it, they only believe in what they call, quote, healthy community conversation. And the Twitter CEO, Agerwald, has said publicly many times he does not even believe in our First Amendment to our U.S. Constitution and free speech. He said that he does not want to be bound, his words, by our First Amendment. In place of that, he wants to impose censorship and the chilling effects of the thought police on all Americans who use his platform. He is one man controlling one of the most powerful social media platforms on planet Earth. As JFK once talked about the CIA, the big tech monopolies now need to be smashed to 1,000 pieces and their dust scattered to the winds of time and space. I can feel the power of the show and the war tension in the air tonight. We are in the war room. You have reached the Von Wien Show. Always breaking news, world events, geopolitics, real news for the American people, and news you can even use. This is my radio show. As I've told you before, there are many like it, but this one is mine. Now, we all know that Democrats destroy, and the conservatives in America today largely conserve nothing. The theme should be how the militant Democrats destroyed the West. Well, tonight we'll get into Ukraine. We'll get into the Supreme Court nominee. We'll also move the conversation back to the shores of America with a K. And we'll talk about many other topics. Being a radio variety show, everything is on the table every night. But if you're in Ukraine tonight, if you're being incessantly shelled by Putin's Red Beast communist armies, you're being shot at, trying to get to Poland through the human corridor, you're being torched and burned, your family that's unarmed, killed in the streets for sport. It's like the apocalypse over there. Typical Soviet style. If the Russians can't win in a fair fight or conventionally, they'll level the whole country and then try to declare victory when every living thing is dead. That, my friends, is the Russian and the Soviet way. And the Germans knew this during World War II. When they had the mongrel hordes, the Asiatic hordes from Siberia, all of Stalin's legions, that they poured into Germany and Eastern Europe in 1944 and 45. Same thing is happening today in Ukraine. But right now, the Ukrainian forces, in my view, are holding back the Russians as they are taking up defensive positions. If you're in the Ukraine tonight, it sounds a lot like this. Yes. Now, if you're a new caller to the show, we never need your real name unless you want to email me that privately. Never put it out there on the public airwaves. Always use a nickname. We will want to know what state you're calling from, what region of the state. If you're city or town, please opine. Have a cool nickname when you call. And, again, new callers get in first in line. Now, when the show was started back on KFNX in Phoenix, and I launched the show in November 5th, 2015. That time, I told everyone that St. Michael was the patron saint of the Von Wien show, St. Michael the Archangel. I had a guy recently ask the show why I did that. Well, St. Michael carries a sword. He's the only warrior saint in the heavens. He commands legions of and armies of angels that follow him into battle. against in a spiritual war. And I believe St. Michael is extremely real, very real, like much of the spirit world. It's on a different plane, shall we say, different spiritual plane. But St. Michael, as the patron saint of the show, always has his jackboot on the head of Satan and evil in the world. And that's why we honor him, because he is victorious in battle. So tonight, the world's in chaos. The world's a war. The world's in turmoil. We'll start the show with this prayer. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan, all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. This evil in the world and against us must be annihilated. Because I tell you, folks, among our natural rights are the right to life, liberty, and property, and the pursuit of happiness. It is what it is with the war in Ukraine. It was what it always was. Nothing new is under the sun, as they say. We are connected by blood and soil and by spirit. We condemn any war that pits brother against brother. We must come together, united against the enemy that wishes to see our people dead in mass graves, along with their countrymen. Stand together and stay united on this war front. Hail victory, and hail to the brave people of Ukraine against the Red Army mongrel invaders. People have asked me, which side are you on during this war? Well, I am not for either government. Our official position in the Von Wien shows we are not for Putin's Kremlin. We are not for Zelensky of Ukraine. Both are corrupt governments, and both have to answer to Jewish oligarchs in their own country. We are for the Ukrainian people, and we are for the Russian people. The Russian people are being drafted and conscripted to a no-win war. They're being censored, and their freedom is being suppressed by Putin. In Ukraine, there's enough corruption in that country prior to the war. They've been fighting over there for 20 years. But if my home was being torched and shelled by the Russian army, I too would grab my machine gun and be out there in the field. And to be very honest with you and candid, there's a part of me that's kind of envious on one hand. Even though it's a hellhole over there, I'm a little envious of the Ukrainian fighters that they have the opportunity and the ability to beat back the Russian army, the second biggest army in the world. They're actually in the fight. They're actually on the ground fighting against Putin's Red Armies that are the invaders. So yeah, I wish them the best. If I was fighting for my home and my land, my family and my people and my friends, we would also fight to the death. Let's just hope that no part of America becomes Ukraine in the future for the UN rogue invasion or some kind of martial law imposed. If we wake up one day to UN tanks in the streets or Chinese tanks on the West Coast and Russian tanks on the East Coast, like Man the High Castle, that kind of a scenario, well, you'll know what to do. I'll leave it at that. Now, there's a lot of scuttlebutt in the world right now, but back on American shores, there's a lot of politics that's still brewing in this country, a lot of unsettled business, I call it. Well, Well, I'll back up. I'll say this. It's okay in America to be racially aware in this country. Because the liberal Democrats and their militant peons in Antifa and BLM are always, always, always talking about race, color, and creed in America. They're always talking about race 24/7. And so it's okay to be white in America. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to be aware of it. The rhino cuck conservatives always say to be colorblind, right? And we would love to be in a totally colorblind society. But our national media, the DNC, keeps ramming race down our throats at every turn. They're trying to invoke you to be guilty and be sympathetic to their Democrat causes. To be candid, the white European race is only 8 to 10% of the world population. Did you know that? We are the minority worldwide. Anything in America that is pro-white, you will notice, is banned. But it is okay to say that you're pro-black, pro-woman, pro-minority, pro-Jewish, pro-gay, or you have gay pride, or you are a proud transgender. That is okay to say in America. But God forbid you say you're pro-white. They'll call you a domestic terrorist, and you're evil. Well, screw them and the horse they rode in on. We know it's a bunch of bunk and BS. I told you in the last show, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance and the government of any other. This is why the militant Democrats attack it incessantly. In the Marine Corps, they tell you, and you need to quote the Rifleman's Creed, where you say, "This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine." And we are the people that are in our country. Your rifle is yours. We'll never forget our Second Amendment rights. And we will fight for our ancient land, of course. The gods have given me and you a path. And I will honor the path that they have given me. I will celebrate my ancestral warriors and ancestors. In looking at the world today, and the political elites want war desperately, right? You see it all around you. Well, it's my job on the radio to keep reminding all of you to resist any draft or encouragements to go to war for governments, bottom line, who have never once cared about you or your family. Unless you have to go, that's different. We are a law-abiding show. But basically, stay home and protect what really matters. Don't fall for the same tricks our ancestors did. No more brother wars. No more fatherless children and widowed white women. The world is watching. It's no longer about just nations. This is about unification of all white Europeans on earth in many nations. The Great Awakening has begun. We no longer represent a nation due to rampant third world immigration directed against us. Because these nations, many in the world, no longer represent Europeans, we must stand together tighter than ever before. We must weather the storm and build a better world for ourselves, our ancestral lands, and our posterity. Having said that, the one good piece of news that came out today was that Biden will take in 100,000 of the Ukrainian refugees, white Europeans from Ukraine, Europa. We need all 3 or 4 million in my book. We need all 10 million to come over here just to balance out all the third world immigration that we have so generously and graciously accepted and tolerated for several years. We have tolerated our border with Mexico wide open. They got across. They're over here. Our federal government's had a catch and release program. So I want all the white European Ukrainians to come over to America. I want them all, every last one of them. We need them to bolster our stock here in America. You've reached the Von Wien Show. There is no program director. That is me. There is no censor. I am the ultimate censor. I self-check myself for every show. There's no one calling the shots but me. And we will listen to our great callers. You've reached the radio octagon. I'm glad you're here tonight.
Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m. The Von Wiehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wiehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wiehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wiehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
You damn right. When you look at history of the world, you got to look at it through a different lens. I try to be a pretty good reader, amateur historian, but every war in the last, several hundred years, in my view, is just about genociding white men, women, and children, and furthering the interests of the New World Order elites and their co-patriots in business and government and elsewhere for basically global communism. Now, a lot of folks have fought in these wars, but the majority, for America at least, have been the white European man. The deep state, the globalists, the elites, international bankers, it all just means more war and destruction is all they bring to the table of life. Watch Europa, the last battle. Or you can remain a useful idiot, a tool of the New World Order. Europa is long with several episodes, but everybody should watch that. It's really hidden history that's been revealed to you. And it's still free, in case you're wondering, on BitChute, Telegram, and elsewhere. Odyssey as well. Sometimes Gab. But remember this. Many people say that the American people should be able to buy everything the U.S. military can buy. Well, maybe not. There are some limits there. But I will point out to you that the Second Amendment says arms and not just firearms. It says that the acquisition of arms shall not be infringed. Interesting choice of words by our founding fathers, yet again, and their genius. Well, we will have zero power until we have decentralized nests and groups of our guys everywhere throughout the country. We are in the political process. How can someone defeat their enemy if they have zero power? They need to get involved in all kinds of ways. Now, some of you folks, when you call the show, many of our regulars definitely know this, but I've got to bring it up to do some prepping for our callers of the Great Von Wiehunt Show. When you call the show, know what I call the art of the pause when you speak. See, I just paused. Don't do run-on sentences where you talk like a machine gun. I will always give you the last word. I'm happy to do so, time permitting, of course. But we have about a half second overlap. And be aware of that, because we do not want to be talking over each other. If you hear me chime in, you should just wait until I'm done, then I'll give you the floor back again, of course. Because unlike other talk shows, there's many rhino talk shows out there that you're lucky if you get 15 seconds of airtime. On my show, I truly want to hear from the American people, and I have proved it time and time again. I do not need to speak every microsecond of every show. I do want to hear what other people have to say. Now, let me tell you something also about the show. A lot of folks have asked me about this, and now our listenership has spiked, obviously, with the war in Ukraine, as people are desperate to hear other points of view from real Americans about this conflict. Now, our top five countries who listen to the show and podcast are now in this order. The United States, of course, is always number one, right? Then our second most listened to country is Thailand. And I tell the Thailand, we love you long time. There must be a lot of American expats living over there or CIA agents listening in for their nightly intel report. And then Canada, our northern brother. And then the UK, the United Kingdom, of course. We love our UK fans. Now, surprisingly, the number five spot, you'll never guess, it's Japan, the Empire of Japan. The Empire of the Rising Sun has pushed Australia to the number six spot internationally. Australia, what's going on? Come on, step it up. Plus, our international audience is now 8.18%. It goes up each week of our total listenership. We can tell many of this by their ISP addresses, where they download the show from, which country, which city, where they listen to it on the podcast, their latitude and longitude, and other really cool internet studio signatures, so to speak. So, know this. Going forward, my friends, when you call into the show, you are not only talking to the United States and to our Spanish friends, that is Estados Unidos, señor. You're also talking to many, many countries who are listening in. And many of them come and listen to the podcast as well. Other countries that get the show live and can always, of course, retrieve the podcast are Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Yemen, Pakistan, India, South Korea, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Hungary, Greece, Moldova, Ukraine, Belgium, Ireland, top of the morning to you, wherever you are, Croatia, Slovenia, Albania, Macedonia, and among a few others. Just in case you wanted to know where your voice resonated with and which country. The show is about the real American people. And I've always said that the world wants to get through the filter of our government and liberal mass media, and they want to hear direct from you, the American people. They're hungry to hear your comments. They're hungry to hear your point of view. And that, my friends, is the market segment and where we come in, the Von Wehhant Show. Only my show does this. Only my show has this far of a reach internationally. Because when I designed the show, I wanted an international audience, not just talk radio for America. You see, it's pretty cool. Now, Russia tried to pull off the biggest con job in the history of the modern world, in my view, with this crazy invasion of Ukraine. Now, I told you all that Putin was riding pretty high and looked pretty strong before he decided to invade. Crazy. Just crazy. The world has learned how weak the Russian military is. And don't just say he put up his worst troops and equipment No, this was on the world stage. He put up his crack troops. 5 Russian generals are dead. Approximately 15,000 Russian troops are dead by the Ukrainian forces. Thousands of pieces of artillery, armored personnel, carriers, and tanks are destroyed by the Ukrainian forces. Putin's gamble is not paying off. I know what he thought. I'm going to invade. It'll be done in 48 to 72 hours, a week the most. I'll be giving my speech to the Ukrainian parliament. Then we'll be under house arrest. And then I'll rape the country for natural resources. And that will pay for my war effort. And I'll profit handsomely for me and my oligarchs. It has not worked out that way at all for Vladimir Putin. A wise man once said, with Russia's huge energy reserves of oil and natural gas, where they feed Europe, that, and of course America and elsewhere. A wise man once said that Russia is nothing but a gas station masquerading as a country. How about that? Unbelievable. The Supreme Court is in disarray. We'll get to that tonight. Putin keeps bombing already bombed out buildings in Ukraine. Unbelievable. Folks, we have a very big show for you tonight. We are so glad that everyone is here tonight. We're going to get a lot of new callers. I can tell. I can feel it. You've reached the Von Wien Show. We're glad you're here. Strap in for a good show. Because you know what, America? You've got another thing coming.
I'm taking the plane, that's the line, I'll never give it up.
a little Judas Priest to get the show cranked up, right? Well, have you been watching these crazy Supreme Court hearings with Ketanji Brown Jackson? You know, in the spirit of bipartisanship, I was hoping, and my sarcastic thoughts were that I thought at least this time they'd have the sense in the spirit of kumbaya to appoint a white heterosexual male white nationalist only in the interests of unity and equality for all and bipartisanship. But they did not do that. This is why the country will remain split. Let me tell you a few things about my... I've been watching the hearings all week here in the studio. Ketanji Brown Jackson cannot answer basic or simple questions when asked. When asked, what is a woman? She replied, she is not a biologist. That's like saying, can you drive a car? And you reply back, I am not a licensed mechanic. How stupid can you get? I know she's trying to be all intellectual and worldly in being a bookworm, but these are not trick questions. And it would be refreshing for once to say, yes, I know what a woman is. I'm looking at one and I am one in her case. Because she had a female interviewer, senator. Unbelievable. How can Ketanji Jackson say women, I thought, have a right to an abortion when she doesn't even know what a woman is? Ever heard of Roe versus Wade? She answers basic yes or no questions, which she could elaborate on with more questions. It's freaking annoying. I would hate to work with her on the Supreme Court. I'm afraid she will get confirmed. But the Roman senators asked her about child pornographic images. She's an apologist, in my view, of child pornographers. The perpetrators of this crime are heinous. Their crimes against children are deep and vile. They need to be carved out of society and incinerated, and their ashes scattered to the wind, in my view. They are sick and degenerate. But we, my friends, are the doctors. We will do surgery if need be. The Supreme Court nominee is getting some pushback from the Roman senators, and rightfully so. In my view, she's a black Marxist. She apparently is for the Marxist anti-white critical race theory, and some senators said that she has purposely sentenced many criminal perpetrators to much lower times in prison than the federal guidelines. I've been watching the hearings all week. Ketanji Jackson says she's for the critical race theory in schools, which again is a Marxist policy and anti-white agenda. Yet Democrat Biden wants her on the nation's highest court. And in my view, and in the show's view, she should not, or be not, be confirmed. And with that, let's get to the phones. Let's get to the gladiator, Paul in North Phoenix, for his words tonight. Hello, gladiator. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you?
We're watching Rome burn.
I got plenty of thoughts. Yeah, man, we are watching Rome burn. So there was an interesting story. The Ukrainian soldiers today, they found a way to destroy a Russian battleship in the port city of Verdansk, burned it, and it's going down under the water as we speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Amazing footage, man.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I were talking the other night about Putin and his whole entire war here, invasion war in Ukraine. And, you know, basically it comes down to a couple things we were talking about. So I'll mention it to the audience. So First, I think Putin lives by a couple of these kind of war and business, because business is warfare. It's the same. They're very similar. But in war and in life, it's better to cross the line and suffer the consequences than to stare at that line for the rest of your life, right? Now, that
right.
can be a positive, motivating line, right? But it can also be
right.
a negative statement. And I believe Putin was staring at that Ukrainian border line, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to cross it and suffer the consequences. And then when he found himself in a situation in a stalemate, because if you find yourself in a stalemate, this is something I lived through my life. You know that I lived this mantra in business and in my personal life. If you find yourself in a stalemate and you cannot devise a way out to victory, then you must push forward and go deeper and further until you punch your way out on the other side. It is the only way out of the stalemate. And this is where he's at. So when we watch all these buildings being bombed out, even though there's nobody left in the building, because the town of Mariupol is empty, but he's destroying every building in sight still, because he's just going to lay the country to waste. He is basically genociding that land out of Ukrainians. If they're there and he kills them, so what? If they leave, they'll never come back, so what? There'll be nothing to come back to. It'll be a desert wasteland. There's no buildings left. He's going to make sure every building is taken down, except for the nuclear power plants, which he'll bring his physicist into the country to operate. He'll then go after the gas and the oil with his gas and oil workers, and he'll bring his farmers down to work the farmlands, and he's going to take all those natural resources, and he'll put up new Russian buildings in place of the rubbled-out Ukrainian buildings, and that'll be it. That's done.
That's
what
right.
What do you think? Yeah.
I agree.
No.
He's laying waste to the entire country, man. I mean,
yes.
He wants it uninhabitable, unfarmable, where there'll be no grass will grow there for a millennia, the way he's going about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and in life, you know, one of the hardest things in life is knowing which bridges to cross and which bridges to burn, okay? Now, that's another mantra I lived in my life as well. So he not only did he cross this bridge, he then burned the bridge, right? Because he can't – there's no way out of this but to go forward and lay waste. So, you know, sometimes in life a man can meet his destiny when he is traveling down the road on which he took to avoid it, right? He thought he would
right.
avoid the destiny of being this war criminal by going in – and having them lay down and like they did in Crimea, and then he would just take it over, right? Like you said, go make his speech in Parliament there in Ukraine.
Yeah.
But
Parliament
he's meeting,
arrest.
Yeah. He's meeting his destiny of being the newest Antichrist, right, basically in the eyes of all the beholders. And he's met that destiny traveling down the road of – the fact that he crossed over the bridge, but then he burned it because he ended up in the stalemate, and now he's got to lay it to waste. So that's where we're at. We're not going to see him ever pull out of Ukraine. We're never going to see the North Atlantic Treaty countries, NATO countries, go in to Ukraine. So he's already written – NATO and Putin have written the destiny of Georgia next, right? But he's got to finish Ukraine
right.
before he can go after the little area of Georgia, because he's going to – I mean, for all intent and purpose, he's going to go get it. I mean, everybody knows it. They already denied Georgia NATO status with Ukraine. So he's like, okay, well, if I'm in Ukraine, if I just lay Ukraine to waste and I go in with all my people and everybody, great. Then that gives me a barrier from Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Slovakia. That is the eastern portion of NATO, but now I have the whole lines on the Black Sea, And now he can go grab Georgia, who's stuck in the middle of it, and then he gets the entire Black Sea land line. So he gets the whole shoreline to the Black Sea. He can pump his oil and gas right to that point, pump it into the ships. He doesn't even need the pipeline to Europe. He can just cross the Black Sea into Europe with his boats. And they need his gas and oil. So this is already it's a big deal. What I just said is the end game. It's already done. No, there's no saving Ukraine. And they said, remember when they said 2 million people left, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I was like, no, it's like 5 to 10 million. Now they're finally saying, well, 5.3 million left, but we think 10 million are displaced. Yeah, the country's gone. The people were the country. They're gone. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all that's left,
oh, yeah.
It's Zelensky and the soldiers are left. That's and any man who's over 18 years of age. But you know what I noticed, though, in Poland and in Lithuania and in Latvia? You know what men I did see walking from Ukraine and leaving Ukraine? I saw every brown-skinned person who went there from Syria and from Afghanistan, all those refugees who were living in Ukraine, given status to become a Ukrainian citizen through being, you know, kicked out of their own country from war, they're not even staying in Ukraine to fight for that country. Fuck them. Don't let them anywhere. And now, I'll bet you, the 100,000 that Biden takes in, I'll bet you 20,000 will be of those people. Not pure Ukrainian folks. He'll let 20,000 refugees of other countries that were in Ukraine, he'll take all of them. That's going to be the Democratic priority coming into America,
well,
I guarantee.
Point that, right, and that's my point was I think you're spot on because knowing the Democrats as I do, they'll be tripping over themselves finding the Afrikaner, the black people who were over there, who were shipped there by George Soros years ago in the invasion of Europe, and they'll put those guys on the plane, which is the worst of the worst of the worst. We don't want them. We want the ethnic white Ukrainian people over in America only. We have enough people from the third world in America. We don't need more.
Right. Exactly.
You're right. They'll probably do that. And but let's just hope that 90% of the white Europeans get in because, to me, folks, it's only fair. Isn't that what the Democrats always say? I just use their words so it's back in their face, their fat face. It's only fair. We bring in white people as, you know, as our bipartisan olive branch, Paul, to bring them in because we brought in millions of black and brown people. We have to be fair about this, right? So we want to reunite families. We want to reunite. And plus also, there are extended Ukrainian families over in America. I want to reunite the families.
Yeah,
we're all about the family on this show.
Yep, they love string immigration through family. Let's use string immigration, and any Ukrainian who's got family in Poland, let's grab all the – I don't care if it's 600,000, 1.1 million.
Yes.
String those people with those families. Let's string line immigrate all those Ukrainians in. And anybody that doesn't have family ties, leave them in Europe because those are going to be the Africans and the Middle Easterns. They weren't really welcome. They just went to Europe, right? Remember that? They invaded Belgium, Sweden, Finland. They started raping all the white girls. I mean, it was just crazy, right? Remember that a few years back? It was insane.
Oh, yeah. It was rampant. Yeah. There's tons of videos I saw every day about that. And those guys are like a lot of the third world. They go country shopping, right? And they went country shopping. And they picked out, Ukraine looks pretty good. Poland looks pretty good. Maybe I can stay here. And then when they're not treated well, they cry racism. And then when they're invaded, they're the first cowards to want to leave. Now, the one good thing is I heard the Polish guards, even with them, I heard some reports to this afternoon that they're pushing even them back, saying, whether you want to fight or not, Bucko, we're going to keep you and your ass in the war zone. We're
right.
not going to let you come to Poland. So you're stuck
yeah.
there. Enjoy the shelling.
And I was,
goodbye. Adios. Sayonara, Bucko.
I was watching Newsy today, and of course, the newscasts are like, well, they're being racist at the Polish border. Like, no. They're over 18 years old. They're 18 and over, and they're leaving.
Right.
They're not supposed to be allowed to leave the country. Give
That's
them
right.
a gun.
Old
and
man between
the
ages 18 and pretty much 60, you got to stay in
yeah.
the Ukraine. And I told you guys one thing, too. If you go over there, you'll see the action of your life. You will see incredible carnage and things of that nature. But you're not going to be able to leave. It's the one caveat. You signed for a one-year tour, but guess what? You can't leave Ukraine. Once you step foot into Ukraine, those Polish guards will not let you come back under orders of their president and Zelensky.
Right.
So you got to
only...
stay. So, yeah.
The only men who are able to go back and forth are men who are not Ukrainian citizens, who show up at the border with arms, flat jackets, helmets, and they're like, we're driving to the nearest city. We're going to drop these off. We'll be back here. Give us 14 hours. We'll be right back. And they do the 14-hour round trip, and then they keep going over and over. They're like, we'll be back in a couple of days. And the Polish guard is like, no problem. We got you.
Right.
So those are the only
right.
people allowed back and forth. Yep. Which would
right.
be
and one
pretty
thing
decent.
Too. Yeah, go ahead.
That would be pretty decent to do. And when you know the war is coming to an end, then you sign up at the border. You get in there because you've already been back and forth. I mean, you're putting your life at risk already, right? So then towards the end,
sure.
you sign up, grab the gun, guard that last city towards Poland because Poland's got your back too. And it's only a 7-hour drive, so you know if shit's going to go to hell in a handbasket, you're 7 hours straight. It's all open country. There's no Russian tanks there. You could probably make it, you know?
Right, right. One thing, too, Paul, I want to tell you in the audience is I dug deep for some information. I found out that the Russian soldiers, the guys that vacate their armored personnel carriers and tanks, when they do that and when they run into the forests of Ukraine, the Ukrainian militia and army are actually, they call it safari, and they're going out there hunting them down and killing them.
Wow.
So that's why I told those guys, if you're going to be ditching your tank, you better ditch your uniform and blend in and head towards the Polish border, because if they
yeah.
catch you, they're going to kill you. But they call it
or
safari.
Just,
let's go on safari
yeah.
and hunt some Russian soldiers and kill them. Let's
right.
kill the invaders.
What you,
yeah.
What you do is you get rid of your Russian soldier uniform and you run up to them and say, give me a uniform, give me a gun. I'm with you guys.
That's what I would do, right? You better defect.
Then you'll gain their respect.
That's
yep.
right. That's right. They're in like Flynn. Paul, thanks a lot for the call, amigo. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, man. All right.
Have a great night,
everyone,
buddy.
Everyone have a good weekend.
Yes. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Paul. Wow. Love that. Good stuff. We'll get to a call. I promise you. We have one, I believe, from Canada. And it might be Catwoman. We'll find out right after this promo.
And under the direction of Von Weehunt, we will commence bombing tonight on the North Vietnamese communist forces. Our B-52s are airborne, arriving at their destination targets. Communism be damned, we must prevail. And God bless America.
That's right. So you're on the Von Weehunt Show. Is this Kat?
Yes, this is Von. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Kat. Good to hear your voice. What are you up to, and what are your thoughts tonight? Glad you called the show.
Well, I really enjoyed your monologue tonight. That was great. Well, your monologues are usually pretty great. But this one especially, I really liked that you stressed about our race and our heritage and our European roots.
Yes. Very important. And as we, you're in, and folks don't know, you're calling from, I believe, Ontario, Canada, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And for Canada and America, what they're trying to do, the elites and the authors and the media and whoever, all the intelligentsia are trying to water down our European roots. They're trying to water down your families and break them up. And so they want to dumb down the white European race in all the Western countries, while at the same time they want to shovel and bring in millions and millions of immigrants that don't belong here from the third world. That's what I see.
Right, yeah.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, well, yeah, the white Ukrainians, they're not allowed to enter other countries. But what other, quote-unquote, Ukrainians are allowed to flood the other countries, allowed to flee Ukraine to go to other countries? I wonder if people notice that.
Yeah, really. Well, one thing that I did notice, Kat, is you know, America, I'm sure Canada does too. We have a big Ukrainian group up here in North America. Between both our countries, there's a lot of Ukrainians, for example, that live in New York City, Chicago, our Midwest. And, we want to reunite the families because those Eastern Europeans they're famous for, you know, large extended families. So I'm hoping that the 100,000 that Biden announced today will grow to millions and millions because we need to reunite these people with their loved ones, you know, bring them together, bring back the family, right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually the other day I saw this video. It was a compilation of a bunch of American politicians talking about how diversity is our strength. So Hillary Clinton, George Bush, you name it, all the big names in American politics were talking about how diversity is the strength of our nation. So if you look back throughout history of Canada or America or any other country, and you watch the diversity grow, but then you see society falling apart at the same rate as our diversity is growing. And well, you know what? They say that it's our strength, but it looks like a weakness if it causes society to fall apart. I mean, if you can't leave your car unlocked when you're just running into a store for a minute, or feel safe when you're walking down the street, is that strength?
I don't think so at all. I think I think you're right on. And we talked about this before. And yes, Kat, it's not a strength to me. This idea that diversity, and I hate that word, multiculturalism. Look, we're the most generous countries in the world, United States and Canada. We bring in everybody, right? Especially America. I know you guys do as well. So nobody can ever fault us for not bringing in people from around the world. And again, the whole premise of it, and this, like I've told a lot of folks, America got off the rails, and even Canada generations ago, our forebears, really this started in my book back around time of our Civil War. So I go back 160 some odd years for that, or even longer. But we got off the rails a long time ago. It was a runaway freight train, crashed and burned, went off the bridge. And the problem is we needed lots of people back in the day to build up North America. Well, the thought was that they were here on a guest pass. They'd come and work, you know, stay for a while, and then cash out and go back home to their respective countries. It was never really planned or thought of that they were going to stay forever, you know? And so over the years, every generation before us, no fault of our own, just let more and more and more come over, because in our country, the Democrats love the minority votes and the Republicans love the cheap labor. So talk about, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows, right? Because they're both in bed with each other and they both want different things from these minorities. And that's why the politicians, they just love this political dogma. And they repeat it at every chance they get. Diversity is our strength, they always say. It's a huge weakness. It's not our strength. It's increased crime. It weakens the country, weakens the fabric, brings down morale, brings down wages, makes groups fight among themselves within the country. It's complete chaos in some American cities. I mean, seriously, you got more people dead in Chicago that went to Afghanistan, for God's sakes. You know, we have like our American cities, like New York, D.C. We just had spring break in Miami. It's still on, actually. And they had to shut that city down, the spring break down, due to rampant shootings. I pulled up the spring break videos. And to be honest, 90% of the people there in Miami were African American. They weren't white. I saw very few Mexicans, but about maybe even more than that. They were all in the streets, and anyone can pull it up. And they're in gangs, and they shoot each other. And so when you got to hide in your house and lock the doors and buy an arsenal to protect yourself, that's really a defensive posture that we're all in Canada and America. And that's not really bode a strength. It's just we're getting ready for the big one, for the big shoe to drop, you know? What are your thoughts?
And well, you know what? Maybe if you look at it from a different angle, diversity can be our strength, but maybe we have – maybe they confuse, you know who I mean, what
right.
diversity is. Because if you look at a chart of eyes and hair from, you know, from Africa, from the Middle East, from India, I mean, they all have the same eye color and hair color. But you know what I see when I look around my dinner table? I have three girls. So there's me. I have brown hair, green eyes. My one daughter has light brown hair, gray eyes. My other daughter has darkish brown hair and blue eyes, and my other daughter has blonde strawberryish hair with hazel eyes. That's diversity.
My
right
God,
there.
What diversity!
I
you got
know,
diversity already in your home.
Exactly. I would say
that's awesome.
Diversity.
That is diversity. That really is.
So maybe diversity is our strength. The Jews just twist it, right?
Yeah,
they
bastardize the whole process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they do. They use these catchphrases and make it sound like it's such a good thing, right? But in the meantime, because everyone
right.
virtue signals their anti-racism or their Everyone feels like they have to prove that they're doing a good thing. Everyone wants to do good. I maybe their motives are pure, but they just don't realize that what they're doing is actually helping destroy their country.
They're
being led
absolutely.
Astray. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that story about your dinner table. That's great. Well, these things are out there, Kat, and the thing is look, I tell people that our political elites, our so-called leaders, they have made a conscious decision to run these countries in the ground and social engineer them, and they want them to look a certain way. And the paradigm of the You know, now if you're a white European family in America or Canada, you're now a domestic terrorist. If you ask our Department of Homeland Security or the federal government or Trudeau's government, you're a domestic terrorist. The whole family is. You know, if two white guys are talking on the street corner, that's got to be a federal conspiracy now. Because if the minorities don't know what you're talking about, freaks them out. Boy, they get mad when they don't know what whitey's talking about. Right? So
right.
It goes on and on and on. And that's why I always say that the best thing to do, seriously, is don't live around them. If you live around militant people, get out of there and move, folks. Move to areas of the country where you're wanted, where you're liked and loved and respected, where your family is safe, where you're safe. Don't live around thugs. Don't live around gangs of any stripe. Don't live around ghettos and inner cities and crime-ridden urban areas. Get the hell out of there. Because if you stay, it's only a matter of time. It's not really a matter of if you're going to be attacked. It's just a matter of when. Because you will be attacked sooner or later, you know? Sad to say, but that's the world that we live in. And I tell folks, Kat, they got to move where they're wanted. Move around your own people. Live there. You'll be a lot happier and a lot safer. What do you say?
I would also add getting your kids out of the public system. It's a Marxist indoctrination center. Not only are they pushing critical race theory and a twisted, disgusting sex ed curriculum, but I also just saw an article that in Washington, I think it was Washington, they're actually proposing a race-based discipline. So they're going to discipline a black kid differently than a white kid, and there's going to be harsher punishments for the white kid. I didn't read
right.
The whole thing. I just scanned it, but it's kind of scary the direction our schools are going at. Scary.
Well, I totally agree with you. Yeah, the public schools were bad enough when I was going through them. I hear horror stories today. I can't imagine how bad they are today. I mean, they must be just terrible. And again, I always say the militant left, they talk about race 24/7. So to be fair, we have to give equal time to race and color and creed and culture on my show. So we're doing some of that tonight. A lot of folks have asked me to talk about that among nationalism and other things, and we will try to weave these things through our show each and every week. But yeah, it's just a jungle out there and getting worse. And, you know, I mean, parents, you better keep your head on a swivel. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's getting bad, you know, and you want to insulate yourself as much as you possibly can. I cannot stress that enough. Insulate yourself with neighborhoods. You want layer upon layer upon layer around you that's safe, good areas. And you want to protect your home and be ready for anything. What are your final thoughts, Kat? And I appreciate your comments tonight.
Well, that was all I pretty that was pretty much all I had to say tonight.
I like it.
I'm drawing a blank. I think that you covered a lot of things tonight, so I don't really have anything to add to it for now.
Yeah, we'll call back again soon. Catwoman from Canada, thank you so much for calling the Von Wien Show. We appreciate
you. Have a good night. Yeah, I do.
Thank you. Have a great night, Kat. Awesome talking to
you.
You. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. From Ontario, Canada. Great call from Catwoman there. She's right. She is spot on. Excellent call. Well, we will be right back after these commercial messages.
An archived phone call.
Von Weehunt on the radio. This is Dennis, just looking to say you're one crazy SOB. I thought I was the crazy one until I ran into you, and then I realized we had the brotherhood of crazy SOBs. You got a great show. I hope you do well with it. Keep on keeping on. Tell the truth, brother. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, I'm still the ghost of the most, babes, you know what I mean? I've been hanging out in this attic for like a long time here, you know, and it's getting pretty old. So I took a trip out in the world, and there's a lot of people burning stuff down and going crazy out there. But even being the ghost with the most like me, I got to have some kind of fun anyway. So I tune in to the Von Weehunt radio show because I know once I finally get my groove on, that's where I want to tune in the nighttime. It's the Von Weehunt Show. He's almost as cool as I am.
That was the Wolfman. Here's a classic song from the late 1960s. Kind of fits in with the theme tonight. It's entitled Here We Go Again by a little Sweetwater. Check it out.
I look at you and in your eyes I see the warmth of all the love that's meant for me. Then you lean to me and in my ear you whisper, oh my darling dear. And then I do the same thing to you and softly say, I love you. Is everywhere, you've got to care, you've got to share, it's always there. When you find a love for you, I know exactly what to do. You'll sing this song too, won't you? 'Cause you won't know what you're doing.
Yes, great song, very prophetic words there and the great lyrics. Well, watching the Supreme Court hearings for Ketanji Jackson, I mean, she answers every question by the Roman senators, like, as I told you, with a stupid rebuttal and a new question. She grins all the time and smirks. Like, the minute I get up there, I decipher her body language like this. I'm going to screw you all over. Especially you, Whitey, her smirk and her grin, those little beady eyes on her, looking down, looking away, when directly questioned by a Roman senator. I believe when she gets up there, it's going to be revenge time on Whitey in America. You wait and see. Those are my 2 cents, America, because on my show, we give equal time. And being a radio variety show, everything is on the table on my show. War and peace, geopolitics, the Ukraine, mighty Russia, Vladimir the Impaler Putin, who's the new Goldfinger, the new James Bond 007 villain of the world. Talk about China, the Pacific Rim, Australia. We'll talk about the countries that we get our message into. We will talk about being racially aware, as the Democrat left always does. We will talk about politics in America, high gas prices, local politics, national politics, geopolitics, our allies across the world, across the pond in Europe, in Europa, in the UK, as they sit there and eat and drink their tea and crumpets. Ukraine is on fire as Nero, the Roman emperor, fiddles. Rome burns. And by the way, if you're trying to fix something or do something or build something, I always tell these guys, it wasn't done overnight. It takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And Rome was not built in a day. Never forget that. But when it was built, they had a 1,000-year Reich. How about those apples? Let's go right to Gunslinger and the Republic of the great state of Texas. Hello, Gunslinger. How are you doing? Are you there, sir? Going once. Going twice. Earth to Gunslinger. Earth to Gunslinger. Well, we'll get back to you. We tried. And I'll type him in our, we have a chat room here, folks, as well. And we'll see if he responds to my radio inquiry. Well, well, well. Look, the most terrifying force of death comes from the hands of men who wanted to be left alone, especially in the Western countries. They try so very hard to mind their own business and provide for themselves and their family and those that they love. They resist every impulse to fight back, knowing that when their hand is forced, it will be a permanent change of life that will come from it. They also know that the moment they fight overtly, that their lives, which they have lived for many, many years, are now over. The moment the men who wanted to be left alone to pursue happiness, if they are forced to fight back, it will be something that the earth will shake in trouble from. It's also a form of suicide of their past life. They only do so in history grudgingly when their hand is forced into battle. Never forget that. Well, we have Lincoln on the studio board from Flyover Country. Thank God. We will get to him in a moment here. But first, we will play this.
flyover country. Come on the air and patch and through. With dispatch, I say. Hello, Lincoln. How's it going?
I'm going.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Can you hear me all right?
Hear you great. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I liked your show a lot. Like Kat said, I really liked your opening monologue a lot. I thought that was really good. I guess you kind of gave me a teaser about that, but yeah, I liked it a lot.
I did, yeah. We talked last night on Telegram, and it was really good and thoroughly enjoyed it. And we talked about a few things last night. You wanted to bring some things up we had talked about, and I'll give you the floor, and I'll chime in and just start us off, man. Floor is yours.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about, you said we'll get into, like, some local politics. This isn't kind of local, I guess, but – you know, I absolutely love it. When you can tell when it's like election season, because all of a sudden these politicians that you've never seen or, you know anything about, all of a sudden they start showing up at your doorstep and wanting to talk and pass out their little pamphlets and shit. I'm sorry I missed
right.
it. I love it when they come here. I love it, especially Republicans. I love it when Republicans knock on my door and want to talk to me, because I give them more shit than do Democrats. But, not that Democrats are any better. They're obviously worse, but, you know, Democrats don't claim to be my friend. Republicans do claim to be my friend. But yeah, I have this, thing hanging on my door here. Elect Eric Schmidt, a proven leader you can trust, with "you can trust" underlined. And on the back of it, it's a big ass door hanger, like it goes on a doorknob. On the back of it, it's, his platform that he's running on. Number one, end wasteful spending. How stupid is that? Name the last politician that attempted to end wasteful spending.
Right. That is so stupid. They waste money every day.
This is his platform.
I agree.
That's his platform. That's bulletin number one. End wasteful
that's
spending.
Number one. Numero uno. God.
Yeah. All the problems.
Out of everything
right now,
in the world, end wasteful spending. Oh, great. So he wants to manage the federal checkbook. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What else is he for?
That's number one. Number one is to make sure that conservative judges get put on the bench, like conservative judges do anything for us on the planet, like the conservative judges appointed by Trump in Washington, D.C. right now that are letting the January 6th people rot while they get sexually molested and you know, in jail. Those judges aren't really doing much for – those conservative judges aren't really doing much for their own people.
True.
And bulletin number three is – and this one that I don't get. Bulletin number three is protect your paycheck.
What?
What? Yeah.
Protect your paycheck. With what? A gun?
that's his platform.
I mean, that's his entire congressional platform. Typical rhino trying to get a congressional seat. Real lukewarm, real stupid platform. I mean, a 10th grader could have written that. Seriously. I mean, I saw guys run for student council. I'm going to end the wasteful spending of the school, and we're going to, you know, make it better for all. All those stupid platitudes. Unbelievable. Stupid, stupid stuff.
I wish I was here when this guy came and knocked on the door. I really wish I was here so I could talk to this guy.
I wish I had a video.
Until he got set up.
Yeah, I wish I had a video of you talking to the guy when he knocked on your door. That would be hilarious for my future website that we're working on right now. That would be hilarious. Oh, my God. Yeah, I want to post stuff like that and make a fool out of those people, because he'll get up there and do absolutely nothing for Missouri. He'll do nothing for your district talking like that. I can already tell he's just a grifter. He just wants to get a congressional seat and retire. You know they get a check for life. If you make it to Congress, you hit the frickin' lottery. Even if you stay for 2 years, you get a pension for life, health care for life. It's amazing. It really is.
This guy kind of even worse to a degree because he's not just running for the House. He's actually running for Senate to take Roy Blunt's retiring, our longtime conservative. So he's running for the Senate, which is 6 years. That's even a little more powerful. And this guy's in
a 6-year tour by Gilligan's Island. Not a 6-hour tour. It's a 6-year tour. Oh, my God.
So he wants to.
What a travesty.
He's spending, but I guarantee on day one, he'd be willing to send Israel $100 million or $1 billion if they ask for it.
He
wants to protect my paycheck. But I'll guarantee he's willing to flood the country with a bunch of Somalians and shit like that, which drives down wages. That's not protecting my paycheck. This is an absolute joke. I can't believe, like you said, man, my son's 15. He came up with a better campaign pitch than this garbage.
He could have, seriously. I mean, it's like a sophomore in high school wrote that. It's pretty pathetic. Yeah, he'll try and protect your paycheck by raising the taxes. I guarantee it. He'll shrivel up your paycheck. He's not going to protect anything.
But by God, he'll end wasteful spending. Don't we hear that shit every 2 years or every 6 years from every single Republican?
Every 2 years.
Like every time.
Yep, same song and dance. They never look. I keep telling people, just be honest. If I was running for Congress. And I was on the ballot here in Phoenix. I was a write-in candidate, got some votes actually, a few years back, but for the 8th congressional. But and I may run again. Who knows? But the thing is just be honest and say every year the federal government gets bigger. It doesn't get any smaller. And all I would say is we can't control the growth. Okay, it's a beast. All we can try and do is control the growth of the beast. We're not going to cut anything. So get that thought out of your head. It ain't going to happen. Now, we will once we get control of the dragon, but you're going to be one hell of a dragon slayer up there. And one guy can't do it. That's the thing. The way our system is, one person cannot do it. So the system will implode under its own weight someday in the future. Someday in the future, the last bill of the last government contract will be put on the burst of beating the donkey ass of government, and it will finally cave in. With a weak dollar and a weak economy and probably a cyber attack and probably a stock market collapse and a war on top of that, you know, but until then, nah, it's going to keep growing. I wouldn't even lie to the,
I don't have the heart to lie
to people like that, you know?
I will say that if you look throughout history and really tanking countries and things going to hell in a handbasket, there was one guy that kind of slayed the dragon in 1933.
Yep. Yeah, he was over in Germany, and he definitely did. And look what happened to him. And he got rid of the central bank. He arrested the Rothschilds. Adolf Hitler did. It's pretty amazing history. But again, I always say history is written by the victors, right? So they never want to tell people in college or high school about the prelude to war. They only want to talk about the war and the, quote, you know, the Holocaust. But they never want to talk about the prelude to war, what brought the world to World War II. And that to me is far more fascinating. But getting back to your local district there, unbelievable, man. What else did you want to bring up from our conversation last night? You had a few more items that I thought you wanted to bring up.
Oh, but we talked about so many things last night. I don't remember what all it was, man.
I know.
We talked about all kinds of stuff last night.
We did.
We had a good talk for a long time with some other people as well. You got to do that more often, man.
I know. I'm going to, and I really enjoyed it. And we were talking to a girl. Let's talk about her, the pretty blonde from Cyprus, Enya.
Yeah.
And she's never met the great European housewives who also lives over there in Cyprus, but she was really cool, and she was also saying that the white people in Cyprus are more and more a minority. And they're being invaded by all the black Afrikaners have been foisted upon Cyprus, and the government's letting them in. They're running amok. She mentioned that to us. Typical, you know, but she was really cool to talk to. And so was the guy Viking from Norway. It was pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's a great man. It's a great thing, man. Like, the whole diversity is our strength thing, man. I got two things about that. As far as, like, I like what the point Cap brought up about diversity. Yes, we are the diverse people. It's everything is, like, so twisted and backwards. We are the people that are diverse with red hair and blonde hair and black hair and brunette hair and gray hair. No offense to anybody out there, but if you look at every African, they all look the same. Every Indian looks the same. Asians look the same. White people are the people of diversity. That's just a fact. That's not racist. That's just a fact. On the other point, as far as, and I like what you brought up earlier, that, you know, that's something that we get backwards all the time, on the whole diversity thing. Well, Europeans are the diverse people.
They are. Red-haired Irishmen, blonde-haired Germans. Yeah.
We had a diverse chat last night, just in my little voice chat on Telegram. We had plenty of diversity there, didn't we?
We did. Plenty of diversity. See, we don't need more and more and more diversity from the third world. That's what the Democrats and the elites want for us. We don't need that. But what they do, they bastardize and hijack everything. They've hijacked our government, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the phrases, and they make them mean something completely different than their original intent and meaning, you know? And that's what really pisses me off. I know it pisses you off, too. And they bastardize it.
Just like,
and then we wake up in 2022, and we're like, what the hell happened, man? You know? Crazy.
Just like they bastardize the term minority. Like you said earlier, you know, European stock makeup, most people don't know this. Most people don't know that you can fit most of the, you know, basically America, Canada, and a lot of European countries in the one country of Africa. When you look at populations of China, you look at populations of India, several African nations, we make up roughly 8 to 10% of the worldwide population, and that number's going down every day. Because the boomer generation is dying off. The younger generation is having less and less and less kids because females are into the workforce now, not staying at home or having kids. And, you know, wages are down. For now, men are working two jobs. Men and women both are working. They don't want to have kids. But that's not a problem for them. I mean, you look at Africans, they're having 5, 6, 7 kids. Asians having kids. Indians having kids. Whites are the only ethnic group where the birth rate is going down. All the others are going up. And
it's all planned. It's all the agenda, Lincoln. It's their agenda. It's all been planned.
10% of the world population, but we call them the minority. Bullshit. They're not the minority. We're the minority.
That's right. And it's really a form of white genocide because in all the media, we talked about this last night. You know, I always hear every again, I think what the Democrats say, folks, they throw it right back in their fat face. They always say, well, we want a Supreme Court in America that looks like America. We want, it has to look like America, their favorite line. And their other favorite line is, well, that's not who we are. That's not who we are as a nation. You know, they hem-haw around. Well, I would say, well, Sherlock, let's get down to brass tacks here. If that's true, blacks are only 13% of the American population. And they're going down a little bit too. So they should not be, we should have, so our Congress should be 87% white. And our Supreme Court should be 87% white and 13% black. But, you know, every company should have no more than 13% black. I mean, if they want to get overly technical about it, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Let's just call a fact a fact. You want to talk turkey? Let's talk turkey. Okay? Capiche? So they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Typical Democrats, morons, they're just unbelievably stupid. But they always say all that crap. They don't really mean it.
13% of the population. 13% of the population makes up over 80% of violent crime in our country.
Bingo, exactly. So they should only have 13% of the violent crime, but they have 80%. And our prisons are full of blacks and even Hispanic gang members, because they commit most of the violent crime. If they weren't committing the crimes, they wouldn't be arrested. They would not be hunted and found to be guilty. Overwhelming evidence, time and time again. Now, I'm not saying our police are perfect. They're not. Do they make mistakes? Damn right, they definitely do. But the one thing about our country is when we make a mistake, we normally correct it pretty quickly, unlike other countries. So that's what I have to say about that. No, the police are not perfect. Are there bad apples there? You bet your ass there are. But again, when we find them, we arrest the police officer. They make amends. They do internal affairs and reviews. We're very quick to correct the problem. But having said all that, yeah, it's just a farce, Lincoln. It really is a farce. It's a big fiasco. You know, I mean, luckily we live in a large country where I tell guys, move again where you are liked. Move where you're wanted, where you're needed. You do not have to live in areas where you're surrounded by ghetto thugs who want to harm you or shank you or kill you or assault you.
Man, you don't even want to get me started as far as the police. I used to have one of those stupid blue line flags on the back of my car, and like, oh yeah, like I was, my brother's a cop. My brother was a career police officer. He's currently in prison. But yeah, he was a career police officer. But you know what got me was I was this, you know, what got me started on the police and what got me thinking about that is the fact that all these fucking cops literally watched Black Lives Matter and Antifa burn down cities and burn down their own goddamn precincts, and they did nothing about that. And those same exact cops are off arresting Granny a year later for not wearing a freaking mask in a store. Fuck those cops.
That's right. That's why I told you guys. I said their orders when there were riots were to stand down. They wanted to stand down. They were not there to protect even their own turf. They willingly gave it up. They vacated the property. Now, to be fair, a lot of times the mayors and the local prosecutor told them and ordered them to leave, hoping that would quell the violence, which it never does. So that's also going to play, you know. But my thing is, you're right. Their normal modus operandi is to stand down. So when those riots were going on for a couple of years in this country, they rarely arrested that many people. They would leave the scene. But boy, if there was a few white guys meeting, talking about politics, they were all over that, right? They had infiltrators and they had all kinds of people in disguise, going to meetings, trying to entrap people. Oh, they're all over that. Like white on rice, pun intended. But God forbid they do anything about BLM or Antifa when they were blowing up American cities and torching them, literally. Unbelievable, man.
to me, what I view the police as anymore, and I used to be, like I said, I was a police, I used to donate money to them, to like the injured officer funds and, you know, the Sheriff's Association and things like that. I used to donate money for that stupid little sticker on my window. When I saw that shit, man, I was done. And then, like, you know, with that whole George Floyd fiasco, Fentanyl Floyd that died of a drug overdose, the
right.
ex-porn star drug junkie that's been in prison six times in his life, held a gun to a white pregnant woman's belly while robbing her, that saint, you know, I saw
sure.
that fiasco happen.
Saint Floyd.
It went everywhere. No, I never heard a word or a single person say us anywhere in the media about a guy named Tony Timpa, T-I-M-P-A, Tony Timpa. He literally died with cops literally putting their knee on his neck, not his back, and thought it was funny and laughed about it. But he was just some damn white guy, so who gives a shit, right?
Yeah. Crazy world in which we live, and... You know, one thing also I wanted to bring up in my little notes here by my desk that I jotted down when we were talking was we had a lot of talk about the white people that, you know, were Republican, now no longer so much Republican. Many of them voted for Trump, and we wish Trump well. I like Trump personally. I always tell people that Trump to me was a step in the right direction. To me, he is not the savior, not your personal savior, maybe not even your political savior, but he was a good president, I thought, for at least a few years. Towards the end, did some things that I don't always agree with, but I always say you can't get everything with any president. My point in saying all of that is that as we go forward, we have a lot of people that email me too and write me LinkedIn and go, I want you to be serious all the time. This is life or death struggle. You don't, you got to get it, Von. We want you serious. I mean, look, I told a lot of people that you're never going to win it over the masses. We're trying to reach a large audience. You can't get to step 10 until you start with step 1 and 2. Goes in sequential order, right? So you need to have a sense of humor about a lot of these things. Have fun out there. Stay functional, for God's sakes. Make your money. Make your paycheck. And I've always said, stay out of trouble with your local police, with your family, your neighborhood. Just stay out of trouble. And work and produce and prepare. Prepare like crazy, like your life depended on it. But you got to stay functional, read and be aware of what's going on, but you can't be so serious where you turn people off. That's why I tell people years ago, I started the show, the radio variety show. So everything is on the table. We'll talk about, like for tonight, the Ukraine war, some racial awareness, war and peace, some geopolitics, some local stuff. And we'll move on from there. Show is not over yet. But you got to have a sense of humor. You got to realize that, look, none of us are at fault for any of this, the current situation. This was done 2, 3, 4 generations ago, way back in the Civil War era, World War I, World War II. Our forebears gave it away bit by bit by bit, piece by piece by piece. So now you fast forward to our era. Look, a lot of the damage has been done. That's what I tell people is, it's not your fault. So you don't have to be wringing your hands and flogging yourself every day and feeling bad about America or your life situation. There's an old saying, it is what it is, like I said in the early part of the monologue. We have no control over that stuff. It was done way before we were even a gleam in our father's eye, right? So all we can do is pick up the pieces of the country. And in the meantime, I say insulate yourself. I mean, Catwoman, we're talking. move to parts of the country where you're accepted, where you're liked, where you're protected by your brethren, by people like yourself.
Definitely.
Don't live in dangerous areas. And from there,
definitely,
just wait for the shoes to drop. And trust me, look at Ukraine. And I tell you, Lee, can I tell other people this, that these things can change on a dime. Because Ukraine a month ago was at peace and it wasn't bombed. Now the entire country is shelled and they're at war. Everyone thought, this will never happen. Putin will never go into Ukraine. Well, fast forward 30 days, he's incinerated the entire country. And so they're having hand-to-hand combat over in Ukraine. Many reports of that. When they run out of bullets, you know? Go ahead, man.
I got I have to correct you real quick, Vaughn, on that. I have to correct you on something. I was in a Q-tard chat about an hour before your show, called JFK. Trump is JFK Jr. That's the name of the channel. And there is no war going on right now in Ukraine. It is all CGI theater to distract us from the fact that all the executions that are happening in Gitmo.
Yeah, that's hysterical, man. Yeah, that's the other, the latest Q theory is there's no war going on in the Ukraine. It's all CGI in Hollywood. And they're all crisis actors, for God's sakes. What a bunch of BS and bunk. Seriously. I mean, what kind of drugs are these people? Yeah, and JFK Jr. is alive, and he's going to be Trump's running mate in 2024. Are you kidding me? What moron believes that? Seriously.
Well, because Trump met JFK Jr. at the Elvis show in Las Vegas a couple of months ago. Duh, didn't you know this, Vaughn? They went to an Elvis show because Elvis is alive and came, you know, faked his own death too. That's where they're planning out their campaign strategy together with Elvis and Michael Jackson and transgender lady die.
I actually heard that they said Elvis was there at the meeting between Trump and JFK Jr. and Lady Di was there. And also, when they met in Vegas, nobody from Mandalay Bay ever died. That a Mandalay Bay gunman, that was all a little Hollywood movie that we saw. And nobody died and everything was fine. And Paddock was just an actor. He's alive. Because somebody sent me a video of Paddock playing blackjack in I swear to God, in Atlantic City. Now, I will admit, it looked a lot like him. They go, here's proof on the way that Paddock is alive. Like, you got to be kidding me. Doesn't look like Paddock that. I mean, it was probably a 10-year younger version of him. And the guy said, he had plastic surgery. Don't you get it? You're watching a movie. Yeah, a movie of what? But who made it? You? I mean, yeah, there's so much disinformation out there. You can shake a stick at. And the Q-tard fantasies, they crack me up, man.
Well, at least we have a world champion swimmer now, that Leah person, that mentally old fag Leah. At least we have a world champion swimmer now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen that?
I have. And some more news, any transgender men in Ukraine that have ran to the Polish border, the Polish border guards are my heroes. They go, no, you're a man. You have to fight. You can't leave. They go, well, no, I identify as a woman. They go, screw you. Get back to the battlefield, buddy. And they will not let them cross over into Poland. I love it. Love that.
I would handle it a little differently. I wouldn't send them back into Ukraine. If I happened to be president of Poland and they showed up at my border wanting to come in and told me that, then I would say, fine, you don't have to go back to Ukraine. You're going to a re-education camp instead. spend a couple of years there, and when you want to tell me you're a man, you can get out.
I actually want to see them blown up by the Russian shells just for entertainment and sport.
That would be
pretty funny.
That'd be all right.
They're about 200 yards into Ukraine, and some Russian shell hits them, and oops, you know. But really and truly, you know, they are not able to get out. And I tell guys, if you go over to Ukraine, you can't get out, just so you know. Do or die time. Hey, Lincoln, thanks a lot, man. We will talk again in the future. Thanks, buddy. Hell victory.
Have a good night, brother. Hell victory, brother.
Thank you, Lincoln. Have a great night, buddy. That was Lincoln from Flyover Country. And we'll get to Brett the Surfer here in a moment. But, you know, in the bowels of the Pentagon, they're talking about the war in Ukraine. And you just know these conversations are taking place between the generals and the war chiefs and probably the president. Sounds a lot like General Turgeson of Dr. Strangelove.
Mr. President, there are one or two points I'd like to make, if I may.
Go ahead, General.
One, our hopes for recalling the 843rd bombwing are quickly being reduced to a very low order of probability. Two, in less than 15 minutes from now, the Ruskies will be making radar contact with the planes. Three, when they do, they are going to go absolutely ape, and they're going to strike back with everything they got. Four, if prior to this time we have done nothing further to suppress their retaliatory capabilities, we will suffer virtual annihilation. Five, if, on the other hand, we were to immediately launch an all-out and coordinated attack on all their airfields and missile bases, we'd stand a damn good chance of catching them with their pants down. Hell, we got a 5-to-1 missile superiority as it is. We could easily assign 3 missiles to every target and still have a very effective reserve force for any other contingency. Six, an unofficial study which we undertook of this eventuality indicated that we would destroy 90% of their nuclear capabilities. We would therefore prevail and suffer only modest and acceptable civilian casualties from the remaining force, which would be badly damaged and uncoordinated.
General, it is the avowed policy of our country never to strike first with nuclear weapons.
Well, Mr. President, I would say that General Ripper has already invalidated that policy.
That was not an act of national policy, and there are still alternatives left open to us.
Mr. President, we are rapidly approaching a moment of truth, both for ourselves as human beings and for the life of our nation. Now, truth is not always a pleasant thing. But it is necessary now to make a choice, to choose between two admittedly regrettable, but nevertheless distinguishable post-war environments. One where you got 20 million people killed, and the other where you got 150 million people killed.
You're talking about mass murder, General, not war.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
I will not go down in history as the greatest mass murderer since Adolf Hitler.
Perhaps it might be better, Mr. President, if you were more concerned with the American people than with your image in the history books.
General Turgeson, I think I've heard quite sufficient from you. Thank you very much.
Dr. Strangelove in the bowels of the Pentagon. Well, we'll get Brett the Surfer on here in a moment, but before, we will play a theme song to kind of get them all, you know, jazzed up and ready to go. Here it goes. We'll be right back. Can you hear me, Vaughn? Loud and clear.
All righty.
Yes, sir.
All righty, man. Love that song. Awesome tune.
Are you surfing off the Black Sea tonight where you saw the Russian ship get destroyed by Ukrainian forces?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Gotta love that, man. That's really... Yeah, you know, it's very interesting, man. I mean, you know, we had that Canadian sniper that went over there, who's just like a rock star in that arena. And think how many, maybe there are thousands of snipers in hardcore like Green Berets and I don't know, over there right now. Maybe that's what's, you know, they've lost some major generals, you know, as well. So,
right.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting times, man. But it's a little.
Well, if you're a sniper in the Ukraine, Brett, that's what you call a target-rich environment. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's it's sad for the young. And I think there'll be blowback from the people over there. All the young kids that are dying. You know, thinking they're on a peacekeeping mission. You know, but. I guess that nuclear option is a little scary, man, but, you know, we just, you know, just believe that nobody would really be, it just seems like, man, when it is just so much more intense than 1962, you know, or during the Cold War, even, you know,
right.
Which is just pretty intense, you know, but, to reality, you know, and we have optimism and you know, faith and we know that things will work out. But then again, man, you know, I don't know. It would be very interesting, man. It's just, you know, with the pandemic and then going into this, you know, it really seems kind of apocalyptic, you know, quite a bit. So,
oh, yeah.
But, you know.
It's definitely an apocalyptic scene there in the Ukraine.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you've seen those burned out, those shell buildings, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Just want to.
Yeah,
I mean,
unbelievable, right.
Over $100 billion in damage. $100 billion, you know, but
sure,
you know,
can you imagine the when they have to rebuild everything? I mean, there will be billions more made to rebuild an entire country, the contracting, the materials, billions upon billions in profits are going to be made by the Western contractors if they get in there. That's one reason, too. Can you imagine how that would buoy all the Western economies? They're also fighting for that, for future revenue. That's why we also want Biden out, because we want American companies to bid for those projects. And see, we'll be in the catbird seat to get a lot of them over the European contracting firms. We don't want Russia to get them all, you know, so they're also fighting for the rebuilding of Ukraine. I mean, the Russian military has decimated the entire country, flattened all the buildings, Soviet style, you know.
I mean,
they have to rebuild everything sooner or later if they can retain Ukraine, and if Zelensky gets to keep it, it's going to be one hell of a contractor's, you know, financial paradise. By God.
Yeah, yeah. War is money for people. With all the hell and everything, and there was a lady on the news the other night. She was 95 years old. She was there in World War II, and she's, I've never seen anything in my life as bad as this. Now, that is telling, you know.
It is. It really is. That tells you a lot. I mean, when the Nazis went into Ukraine, they didn't bomb Ukraine like the Soviet Red Army. They went through Ukraine in Operation Barbarossa, where they had many allies in Ukraine who fought for Hitler, and then they went right into Mother Mighty Russia. And they were wiping out those Bolsheviks by the bushel. But the Ukrainians followed them and helped them because they were sick of the Soviet Stalin and the in Moscow back then. Did not want to live under Moscow's thumb.
Yeah.
So they go, we'll fight with this Hitler guy. And then he was promising them a republic, you know, as being part of the Greater Reich. And they said, hell yeah, we'll fight for that. And see, they don't teach that much in high school or college. They only want you to know certain facts, but that's a fact about World War II. But yeah, Brett, it's crazy, man. War is hell, right? And I saw that babushka lady that you're talking about.
Yeah,
the babushka lady was really old. She had seen it all, but she said, I've never seen anything like this. You're right. Crazy, man.
Man, that is, very, very, very surreal, man. It's almost like, you know, but, you know, we were, you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, will it escalate or are there, you know, usually good always overcomes evil, you know, but, you know, we'll see. Hopefully everything, I don't know, but we go through life, man, with optimism, right? So.
Yes. Well, the classic case is when they gave you that glass and they go, is the glass of water half full or half empty? And I'd always say half full. That's what a true optimist says. At least half full. That's the right answer.
Yeah. That's the way, we think.
What's your final words of wisdom tonight to the valiant, brave people of Ukraine fighting off the invaders and to America?
God bless
America. What are
your
final thoughts,
bless
sir?
Bless us with peace. Bless us with health, man, and prosperity and a prosperous and bright future. You know, that's what really all of us want. We want a leader as well, you know, but like you said, for years, you know, this could well be just kind of as it's supposed, I don't know, everything as it's supposed to be, you know, but, you know, we hope that things will be cool and we'll just be able to ride a chill wave and we're hoping that's the way it's going to be, you know, because that's the only way it's the only way to really exist, right?
Folks, you heard it from Brett the Surfer, ride the chill wave. The chill wave in the face of war. Yes.
Right.
Way to go, Brett. Way to go. Have a great night, amigo. Surf that
right,
wave.
Man.
We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks, Brett.
Take care.
You bet. Yeah, folks. Surf the chill wave. Love that. Well, while you're doing that, just know that Russia, as I am Mr. Reality, is now engaged in a nuclear evacuation drill. Hate to be the buzzkill on that one, but it is true. President Vladimir Putin, the Antichrist of our time, and in charge of the Red Beast armies, said he's ordered the drill and his own family has been evacuated. If you're in Louisiana, that's pronounced fambly with a B. Just kidding. Earlier today, the Hal Turner radio show covered a sudden surge in commercial air flights inside Russia that he didn't mention on his website where I got the information. So there's a lot of flights leaving Moscow late at night from Moscow and St. Petersburg to the Ural Mountains, which is like their Cheyenne Mountain, their nuclear sites, ICBM sites for mighty Russia. Also, there was news in India confirming the flights. Let's face it, America. Aren't all wars big shows run by very questionable and very often corrupt characters. I think many of these guys are just, they go over there to fight in the Ukraine or just from America are tired and bored of hanging around their dead-end, crappy jobs here in America. And they do seek foreign adventure and possibly a foreign wife, if truth were known. They don't always get into the geopolitics of it like we do on my show. But that's our world. That's where we're at. We've got a actor running Ukraine, begging the U.S. for more money and arms, and massive shipments are coming in for his freedom fighters to fend off the Russian beast army. There's been a lot of talk about the neo-Nazi Azov regiment in Russia, in the Ukraine, that's unleashing holy hell on the Russian forces who are deathly afraid of the Azov regiment, as they should be. They're trained fighters. Many Americans have went to the Ukraine for liberty and freedom. We are the largest contingent, by the way, of American freedom fighters that have went to the Ukraine of all the foreign forces. It's already been reported. There is trouble in the Kremlin. Putin's spy boss was reportedly arrested this week as Putin fumes over the debacle of the Ukraine invasion. Unbelievable. So a lot of news coming around. It's clear that China and Russia, in my view, are looking for alternatives on the economic front to disrupt the our American U.S. dollar and the petrodollar and the Western financial markets. So the dollar basically serves as a double-edged sword at this point. We all know the central banks run the dollar, but they might run it into the ground. Be aware of that. If the dollar stays somewhat okay and firm, then we may not have to deal with any kind of new world order currency that they wish to implement over us. But Putin and China want Eurasia to succeed in overthrowing the U.S. greenback. And that would give Eurasia the pathway necessary to implement their cabal, their Eurasian financial market, over the world, over Wall Street. Or they will at least attempt that. If World War III kicks off, one of the first things that could happen is a financial implosion. We hope that peace prevails. We hope that cooler heads prevail, that more war can be averted. We hope for a ceasefire in Ukraine. We hope that there will be no more dead or no more mass graves in Ukraine, World War II style, to be buried. Unbelievable what's happened in the last 30 days. There's been a lot going on, a lot on the undercurrent of America and the world. We will talk about it next week, I assure you, as you are in overtime right now. We thank you all for being here as I broadcast each Thursday night to my mountain stronghold. Remember, if you are a new caller, you always get first in line. Reach me on Gab. From my email, vonweehanshow@gmail.com. My Jab page is in sight there, is always up, the website. We'll talk more next week, I assure you. Have a great night. Godspeed to all. Be safe. Be merry with cheer. Thank God we live in America. Let's keep it free and keep it strong. I bid you farewell, America, until next week. Good night.